Old Testament reading is found in Daniel, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 5. And there's been a turnover in the kingdom. As you may recall, Nebuchadnezzar has died. His grandson, Nebuchadnezzar, was in power. And then his son, Belshazzar, had been ruling temporarily. And then Darius the Great, also known as Cyrus the Great, came in and conquered the kingdom. And so we pick up the reading there. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and satraps sought to find a ground of complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of God." May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. As we continue the series in Daniel, Dare to Be a Daniel, and this morning I want to think about All In, as it's Faith Promise Sunday. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this pastor of a small church in a rural farming community, and it was the pastor's custom during the stewardship campaign to go and visit each home individually and during this campaign. And so the next home he was going to visit was that of Farmer Brown. And Farmer Brown was known in the community as being rather frugal. And so the pastor came into Farmer Brown's house and he asked Farmer Brown, he said, "Listen, Farmer Brown, if you inherited $2 million, would you give $200,000 to the Lord?" And Farmer Brown said, "Oh, you know, Pastor, I give one-tenth of that to the Lord." And pastor said to Farmer Brown, "Listen, Farmer Brown, if you had 10 tractors, would you donate one of those tractors for a church fundraiser?" And he said, "Of course, if I had 10 tractors, I'd donate one of those tractors to the church for a fundraiser." And then the pastor said, "Now, Farmer Brown, if you had 10 pigs," and Farmer Brown said, "Now, just wait a minute. You know I've got 10 pigs." I know there must be some people out there with 10 pigs. So, but you know, the truth is that stewardship isn't just theoretical, it's also very practical. And most folks, if they had abundance and excess, we know they would give out of charitable concern. But you know, stewardship touches our life in season and out of season. And this morning I want to pause, and this has been just a succession of rapid movements through the book of Daniel, and I want to pause for a moment and think about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as great examples of stewardship people. And so it's a great for us on Faith Promise Sunday, I think. And as I said, you know, this has been just an action-packed book, and you think it starts out with this incredible act, and Nebuchadnezzar sweeps through as this great general and king, and he conquers Judah and the Judean countryside, and then lays siege to Jerusalem and then devastates that. And then after he has absolutely devastated that city and killed thousands of people, then he takes away about 10,000 of the best and brightest. And among those are Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they're sort of tempted to compromise their faith, but they stand strong for their values. They pick up the challenge of Jeremiah the prophet, who told them, "Listen, you need to live and settle there, but you need to keep strong values. You need to bless Babylon." In other words, let your light shine and even love them, and then trust the Lord that God will bring you back in 70 years. And so they have this challenge before them. And then Daniel is presented with the opportunity to come before the king and to interpret a dream. And he does so, and it challenges the king. And then the king ends up making this 90-foot tall statue, and everyone's supposed to bow down to it. That's probably not the response to the dream that God was looking for, but instead of humility, he had great pride, and so he built this incredible statue. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as some of the young rulers that were there, and they were forced to either bow down to this statue or to be thrown into the fiery furnace, and they refused to. And the king gave them another chance, and they said, "Listen, O king, we believe that our God can save us from the fiery furnace, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow down." In other words, no matter what, we're going to serve our Lord. And so they were all in. And they were faithful in bad times or good times. And you know, for us, sometimes it's easy to be faithful in good times, but it's a lot harder to be faithful in bad times when we face challenge and adversity in life. And these young men set a great example. And they were probably just teenagers at this time, and yet they stood strong. And we've talked about how that this new kingdom they were in, new city, was an incredibly powerful kingdom. It was a world empire at that time. And of course, there were incredible architectural wonders, some of the seven wonders of the world at that time. Two of them, actually, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon and also the Ishtar Gate. And you can see the Ishtar Gate in Berlin. It's been the smaller part of the gate has been restored. It's immense. And so they had to be in awe of this. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar let pride get the best of him. And then Daniel was given a message to go before the king to tell him that if he didn't acknowledge God as Lord of all the universe, who puts into power whom he chooses, then he would go crazy and he would end up eating grass like the cattle of the field. And of course, the king scoffed that off. But a year later, that came true, and he lost his mind. He became insane. He kind of did this Howard Hughes thing. He didn't cut his nails, and he grew his hair long. And during that time, the kingdom was in a turmoil. But 7 years later, or 7 seasons later, he looked up to the heavens and confessed God, and he regained his sanity. But he did later die, and then there's a succession of heirs, so sons and grandsons, and then it comes to Nebuchadnezzar. There's in rapid succession, and he was often away doing whatever rather than running the kingdom. When he was gone, he had his son Belshazzar take his throne, and during that time, Belshazzar, in the true spirit of this line of kings, was just having a huge party. In fact, he had all the royal things that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem brought forth, and they were having this party, and in the middle of that, there was this hand that came down and wrote on the wall, and it wrote these words, and then he was absolutely frightened by that. And Daniel interpreted the dream, and the sum of it was basically that this very night, your kingdom will be taken from you because of your pride and your arrogance, and that happened. We know from history that came to be fulfilled, that Cyrus the Great, also known as Darius the Great, came to the city, and things were in such a deplorable state in that kingdom that the people actually opened the gates for him so he didn't have to breach the walls or anything, and they welcomed him in actually as sort of a savior. In fact, the Bible speaks very favorably of Cyrus or Darius the Great. And so in all these things, all these difficulties, in good times and bad times, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were faithful to the Lord. I think the challenge comes to us too that, you know, sometimes we face good times and sometimes, like everyone else, we face some challenge and adversity. And the question is, are we going to be faithful to the Lord? Like these young men, are we going to sort of be ambassadors for God? Are we going to let our light shine in darkness and keep our values strong no matter what? And then to trust the Lord that God will bless us in all things. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did exactly that. They were all in for everything they were. And the second thing is they dedicated their time and their talents and their treasure. And that's really the emphasis of stewardship. We think of it not just our financial means, but also our time and our talent. All those things are valuable for us and valuable for God. And so the first thing is, in terms of time, you know, they dedicated their time. And for us, we might look at this and say, well, of course they dedicated their time. I mean, Jerusalem was leveled. They were taken captive. They didn't have any choice for that. But, you know, the truth is, for those 70 years that Jeremiah predicted they would be there, they could have just gone through the motions. They could have just sort of done the minimal, but they didn't. They used their gifts, and they had, you know, some incredible gifts, and they used their time. And that 70 years is kind of like most of us have 70 years in life. That's kind of the average lifespan. We hope for, you know, 20 or maybe 30 years more than that. But in terms of our working life, 70 years is about the maximum that we have. And they used all of that to be a witness in a time of darkness. And who knows the impact of the lives that they touched. And obviously, they came before Nebuchadnezzar. They came before his sons, and then later, as we'll see, they came before Darius the king, but they also touched lives throughout the kingdom because they were lifted in such a high place. Who knows that lives that were touched that weren't part of the Jewish kingdom at all, that were foreigners that God cares about, that they made a difference in their life by dedicating their time. Next thing they did was dedicated their talents. And, you know, sometimes when we think about dedicating our talents, we think, well, you need to be a pastor or missionary. But the truth is, just like Martin Luther was fond of saying, you know, even the milkmaid does the will of God when she serves as she should. And no matter where we are, we can do God's will and make a difference in the world. In fact, God needs people in all kinds of places and situations to really make an impact on our world. And so it was for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And some of their gifts were, obviously, Daniel interpreted dreams, but also they were all three, plus Daniel, gifted at wisdom, gifted at administration. You know, God needs great business managers. God needs great administrators, great teachers, great plumbers, everything in life, great students at school and great students on the playground, because we can make an impact wherever we are. And so, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the question for us, I think, is do we dedicate our talents to God? Those talents have been given to us by God to serve God and to serve others, so we can do that. So they shared their time and they shared their talents and they also shared their treasure. Now, we don't hear that they tithe necessarily, which is giving one-tenth of all that, but it seems like they gave a lot more than that in terms of time, certainly. In terms of their talent, they gave everything. And Jesus said, you know, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, I think the truth is also just the reverse. You know, their heart is in the Lord, so they no doubt gave of their treasure to the Lord. We know that a number of times they refuse gift from the king because of their commitment. In fact, just before Darius the Great came in, Daniel was offered the second place in the kingdom, and he was offered a gold chain, and he refused them both. He said, you can keep that. And he knew that the prophecy would fulfill that that very night the kingdom would be overthrown. And so for us, I think we need to do the same kind of thing. And Peter challenges a church facing persecution, difficulty, with some great words on stewardship that Sandy read earlier, and I'd like to read them again. Peter writes this, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Like good stewards, so good managers or good administrators of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received, whatever gift it is. He says, whoever speaks must do as one speaking the very words of God. And whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and power forever and ever. Amen. But then he goes on to say, don't expect that everything's always going to be smooth in your life just because of that. He goes on to say that God still tests us because every test kind of leads oftentimes to a greater level of blessing. He says this, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you. Something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when the glory is received. You know, Peter is saying, listen, we've all been blessed with a lot of talents by God. But wherever you are and whoever you are, be all in. You know, that God is blessed by what we do, and that's an opportunity to serve him by whatever it is that we're doing. He says, listen, you need to be all in because you're going to face some trials, some adversity, some difficulty. It's going to be like a refining fire that strengthens you. But in all that, I think that we see sometimes that God blesses us in ways we never realize. Now, most of us would like to be blessed by nothing bad ever happening. But the truth we all know is that sometimes we face difficulties and adversity. When we look at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, every trial seemed to lead to a greater trial in their life. But the truth is God was strengthening them and refining them for the purposes he had. But I think the final thing is that God did bless them, but sometimes in ways they didn't expect. I think that God blessed them because God used that moment to lift them to a higher level. You look at each and every incident, they were raised to a higher level, higher position, so they could have a greater influence. And so when they stood true, when it came to diet, and they stood true to their diet, then the king had them come before him, and they found that their wisdom was greater than anyone else, and so they're given a greater place of wisdom and power. And then when Daniel stood strong in the dream and told the truth to the king, then he was elevated to a new position. And then same with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they stood true before the fiery furnace, then once again, they're elevated to a position of influence. And sometimes God has us grow through the smaller trials because if we were put under tremendous pressure at first, then we might break under that circumstance. But God slowly puts us through tests and difficulties so that we're strengthened and refined. So when the moment of greatness comes, then we have a place of blessing that we can touch others in a powerful way. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 9:6. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, Paul is saying, listen, be all in with your giving, whatever it is, and know that God will bless you in a powerful way. And one of the surprising things is you'll find a new joy in serving him. There's a great moment, I think, in Jesus discipling the 12. And in John chapter 6, in the latter part of that chapter, Jesus, in the midst of a lot of people coming to him from the healings and the way he's taught, has thousands of people come. And then Jesus begins to talk about suffering and difficulty and adversity. And it says that from that moment on, crowds began to leave him. Some disciples fled away because Jesus began to talk about the cross. And then Jesus turns to the 12 and says, will you leave me as well? And Peter, as Peter often does, spoke up and he said, Lord, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. I think that's a powerful moment. And Peter was probably weighing in his mind, and of course Peter made some mistakes down the road, but Peter was able to follow. And I think Jesus was saying, listen, are you all in? It's easy to follow me when things are easy and things are going well and the miracles are going your way and the teaching seems to be something that is easy to listen to, but when it gets tough, will you be there? And Peter's saying, listen, we're going to try to follow you no matter what. And Jesus affirms that moment. And I think in our own lives, you take a look at Jesus, and Jesus was all in. Jesus was all in not just to talk about words of love, but to give his life in a powerful way on Calvary so we can know the love of God and forgiveness and grace in a new way, so we could experience God's forgiveness and bridge the gap between ourselves and God and have the hope of eternal life. If it weren't for the cross, we wouldn't know eternal life. We wouldn't know the love of God in that way. I'd like to close with this thought. Bill Borden was a great multimillionaire in the 20th century, and he was heir to the great Borden fortune, and he decided to forsake his trust account and become a missionary to China. He was still a young man. He never really got to China. He only got as far as Egypt when he contracted typhoid fever and died. He didn't fulfill his dream, but he was called to a mission, and he was faithful. And shortly before he died, he wrote in his diary these words: "No reserves, no retreats, no regrets." Would that all of us could write something like that. Our life may not be as long as we'd like it to be, but the question for us, are we faithful to the call that God has given us? Are we all in as disciples of Christ? Can we write no reserves, no retreats, no regrets? I challenge us this morning as we look at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as just young teenagers when they start this journey, yet they were faithful for the next 7 years until they became older in life. They were all in each and every step of the way. They stood faithful for the small tests, were strengthened, refined, and then were blessed to new levels so that God could use them in that moment. Through it all, they faced adversity and challenge and difficulty, but they were all in, and they blessed people in a powerful way and were lights in the darkness. I challenge us to do the same thing on Faith Promise Sunday. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, you've blessed us with so many things. So all of us have time and talent and treasure you've blessed us with. Sometimes we look at the talents of others and the time they have, and we want what they have. But the truth is, you've blessed each and every one of us with something special, and the gift of life itself. So help us to use that time and the talent that we have and the treasure we have to bless you and to serve others. Help us through your strength to shine in the darkness, to stand true for our faith and to share your love and your grace and your truth with others. We pray that we be faithful in small things and big things as well, through all the hills and valleys of life, with Christ the Lord as our guide, our Savior, and our Lord. Through Jesus' name, amen.